Some people in this world, some kids never grow up. So I guess you do qualify, G. Yeah. Oh, me. This is a good day to be in the house of the Lord on Friend Day. Friend Day, very special day. And we've got several very special friends with our friends here today. Like I told somebody, actually, Flora and I did have somebody that we wanted to come very special, but they didn't make it. We didn't ask them. Okay, but you know... we're so glad that you are here today. We're going to be sharing about friends, and the biggest friend, the greatest friend that I got is none other than Jesus Christ. But I want you to in Proverbs 17:17, the scripture says, a friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. A friend loves even when their son takes your daughter out. And the girl's father brings out a shotgun. Friends still love friends. Oh, man. Being a friend. A friend loves at all times. Gun was unloaded, by the way. Just one. Okay, it was their son. Okay. And so a friend loves at all times. And we're going to be dealing with the topic this morning, thinking about this. But I like to kind of get our juices flowing right now. Think about the 16th president. Who ran for president and failed, ran for Senate two times and failed. It was a guy that loved cats, and he loved dogs. And in fact, Abraham Lincoln's cat used to eat at the table in the White House. Now, that's history. Okay, but anyhow, Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, "Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends?" Boy, isn't that pretty neat? And I kind of thought about that. Is that what Jesus did for me? You know, the scripture says, when we were yet without strength, or when we were enemies by means of our sin, that He died for us. And Jesus made an enemy of His to a friend by loving me and loving me. And so, another thing, and this one really rings home to me about friends. Because life is confusing enough. The roads are lost and going different directions. We're perplexed, disoriented, bewildered. What kind of road are we going to take? But an unknown person said this, "Life is hard as it is, too many rough roads to travel, too many chains to untangle. But no matter how cruel the world may be, life becomes less harder when you got a friend." I believe that. I believe life becomes less harder when you got a friend. Many times I'll tell people, if you want somebody to go to church, all you have to do is go with them. Because a lot of times people can do something together that they'd never do by themselves. But when you got a friend, you can have a friend call you up in the morning, in which the neighbors say that you're on something, but in reality you're not on something, you just had a mini stroke. Right, Martha? Barbara? I mean, that's true, isn't it? And your friend called you up and maybe even saved life. I don't know. It could very well have been. That's called a friend. That's called a friend. And so friends come together. They help you out when things are tough. But what about a little girl named Helen Keller, who was born just as normal as any other child, but she had a type of disease as a child, and she went blind? She said these words. She said, "I would rather walk with a friend in the dark than alone in the light." That makes a whole lot of sense. Somebody asked me, what's a wealthy man? A wealthy man to me, any man that dies with three close friends is a wealthy man. A friend. A friend. And so therefore, the scripture that we read a while ago, a friend loves at all times. Sometimes we're not too lovely. Sometimes get real close to that. Sometimes it's not pleasure. But you know what? We still love. Love goes much, much deeper and it grows there. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Who's that? That's Jesus. There is a friend that sticks closer. In fact, some of you've got friends that you spend more time than with your own family. There is a friend, though, that sticketh closer than even that very special person. And that person is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So my question for you this morning is this. Would you consider making Jesus your friend? Now, there's a lot that's behind this. Would you consider making Jesus your friend? If what? A friend loves at all time. If what? A friend's always concerned. If what? A friend. A friend. Would you consider? Now, sometimes you go through the rough areas. I get very sensitive when I hear that word friend. So in the movie that we're going to be showing on Family Night, it's coming up, what, that's next Saturday? Next Saturday night we're going to be having Family Night. We're going to be showing the movie that God's Not Dead. And I'd like to show you a clip out of it, but I want you to watch for something because it goes much deeper than the outer core of just who we are to the inner core. Listen to this.
Hey, you're in my philosophy class. Martin, right?
Correct. And you're Mr. Josh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's me, Mr. Josh. Hey, is that on our reading list?
No. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Why are you doing what you are doing?
Everyone else thinks I'm crazy. Girlfriend. Ex-girlfriend left me over it. My parents don't want me to risk it. At the end of it all, I'm going to have to work like a dog for the rest of the semesters to catch up on my other classes.
You have described your difficulties, but you haven't answered my question of why.
I don't know, I just think of Jesus as my friend.
So you think Jesus is God?
Yeah, I'm the Son of God. I don't want to disappoint him, even if everyone else thinks I should. See, to me, he's not dead. He's alive. I don't want anyone to get talked out of believing in him just because some professor thinks they should. See you around, Martin.
Hi.
Have you ever just thought about Jesus being your friend? Have you ever reached that point where you could say, you know, he really is. Jesus really is that kind of friend to me. So as we begin to say, well, what is a friend? How do I become a friend? How do I know that I'm a friend? Well, we begin to develop this thought when we think about these words. And one thing, you got to see the complexity of your life. You are a complex person. Gene, you married a complex woman. And so try figuring her out. So what can I say? We are complex. Jesus looks at us, though, in this light. Think about these words in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the complexity of this. You as an individual are made up in three components. You've got the body, you've got the soul, and you've got the spirit. When you become a friend, all three things are part of this. Can you be a friend with somebody without sharing the senses? The hearing, maybe the taste to eat together, the seeing, the hands, the touch. Can you really be a friend without spending the soul of man? And we'll develop these. But I want you to know that complexity that's in there. When you start talking about a friend, this is not 38,000 feet looking down. This is getting down where we live. But there's also three components that's going on inside of this complex person. Noticing God of peace himself. Who's involved in this friendship? God is involved in this friendship with you. Secondly, preserve complete. Who's going to do that? That's going to be the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a part of this complexity. And then you see there, it says, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The complexity says the Lord Jesus Christ. So you've got the Father. You've got the Son. You've got the Holy Spirit are all a part of the complexity of this one person that we call a friend. A friend. Let's develop that another step. Three levels. Level number one is sensuality. And that's the five senses, okay, that we talked about. Level number two is the personality. That's how you're wired. AK was wired up yesterday. He was wired for service. AJ. I got it pretty close, didn't I? he was wired for service yesterday. But then there's also this spirituality. This is all these things are coming in. So therefore, when you look at an individual, can you be a friend with somebody if you don't reach out and touch and let them know your personality type? Can you really know? I mean, can you be a friend? Oh man, you can stay on the human level with the five senses. You can say, man, that's a friend. No. Personality says, I'm going to let them in on this inner circle. That's the dangerous part. Because all of a sudden now you're letting them know who you really are. How many people do you allow to know who you really are? And then can you really be a friend without involving the spiritual side of life? It's still, my mind's still ringing it. As Jean Stacy was talking about sending the five questions up to her friend up north. And after answering those five questions, she said, we've been friends for all these years, but we never talked about things spiritual. So, if you're going to be a real friend, there's three levels you got to begin to deal with. Now, in learning this, though, I want to know who's your greatest friend. That's him. The greatest friend is Jesus. You got it? A friend of tax collectors and sinners. I like this part. That means Troy's qualified. He's not a tax collector, so what does that leave? Okay, but anyhow, he's a friend of sinners. And there's not a one of us in here that doesn't qualify in that category. Amen. So, we're sinners. He's our friend, even though we're not friendly to him. He's our friend, even though we might even hate him. He's our friend. Boy, that goes deep, doesn't it? Me, does he care about me on level one and the senses? Does he care about level two on me and the personality? Does he care about me on level three, the spirituality? Does he really care about me even though I don't care about him? That's different, isn't it? Could somebody really care that much about me? Scripture says he's a friend to sinners. Goes on. There was four guys that brought a guy that couldn't walk, tore through the roof to get to Jesus. Jesus, when he looked at their faith, he said to this man he'd never met before, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Isn't that pretty neat? Never met him before. But he looked upon him and he saw the faith in the eyes of his friends and he called him a friend. And so therefore, he was no longer an enemy, but he was a friend because his sins were forgiven. Have your sins been forgiven? Have your sins... Did Jesus forgive... Has He forgiven you of your sins? He can. He wants to. He desires to. Because He goes on and says, look, even when you don't like me, I'm still going to love you. I don't think of any situation that was worse than this. It's dark. Guys come along with torches. Jesus in the garden, and He was praying. And a guy that walked with Him for about 3 years, ate at His table, listened to His word, the power is on Him, He helped people. A guy that had been so close and called himself a friend of Jesus, he walks up to Him. And what does Jesus say to Judas Iscariot? Friend, do what you have come for. I don't know of anybody in here that could have done anything worse than what Judas Iscariot did. He betrayed the Son of God. And yet Jesus said, friend. That's a friend. That friend always has your back. That friend loves you when you're not loving. He loves you. So the Proverbs put it this way, a friend loves at all time and a brother is born for adversity, but a friend loves at all time. Does that mean Jesus is going to always love you? It really does. It really does. He's going to stay with the stuff. But now let's care this. Now let's get a little bit upfront and personal. What's the greatest proof of friendship? Let's see how it develops. John 15:13 says, greater loveth no man than this, than one lay down his life for his what? His friends. Did He prove that He loved you? Yeah. He laid down His life. I watched a clip this morning about He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. And it was designed for the military. And I didn't want to have a bunch of women here slobbering all over themselves. So I didn't bring that clip.
You're not a real good friend.
I can tell you.
Brain itching.
Nope. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. And you can fill in the gaps. But when they brought out the caskets, you can fill in the gaps. Greater love hath no man than this, than one lay down his life for his brother. That's Jesus. That's what He's done for us. And so we know this because 1 John 3:16 says, we know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Oh, me, all of a sudden, now wait a minute now. I don't mind Jesus being my friend. But if I got to be a friend of Billy Bozeman, come on now. Yeah. But what's the intent? If I got to be a friend of Frank, I got to be a friend of Judy. Are you pushing it? You know, but how does all this come together? We know love by this, that He, Jesus, okay, He laid down His life. Spiritually, look at the body. He put it down. He laid down His mind, His days on this earth. His past, His future, His present. Hey, sometimes that's what happens when we marry somebody. You know what? When we marry somebody, you know what happens? We have to become extremely involved with our body and the senses. And I do like part of the senses now. You know, the mouth, because that's where the food comes in. there's a lot of that I do like, and Miss Flora knows how to cook it. There's a lot about the senses that I like, the body. But you know what? There's even a level higher than the senses. That's the personality. That's how she's wired. That's how we become wired together. And I can honestly say this to you guys. Outside of the Lord Jesus, Flora's my best friend. She's my best friend. I get the biggest kick on Friday afternoons. A lot of times on the last leg of where I work, I said, "You ready for a ride?" She jumps in the car and we go call on customers. And you know what she says? Now, this gets mushy, but you know what she says to me? She says, "I like it that you like it, that you asked me to ride with you." She likes for me to ask her to ride with me. Now, I'm not the first one. Sometimes she calls, "Hey, are you going anywhere?" It's not always just me. But we share this mind together. But we don't just stop there with the physical, with the sensual, with the personality. We share something far even higher than that. We share Jesus Christ. And He's so much a part of our life that now I can say, she is my best friend. I can say that because these are all connecting together. It's not one. You take any one of these out of the loop and you're not complete. Any one of them can make that ship want to sink. You have to put them all together. That's what Jesus did for us. He, the Son of God, laid it down. So therefore I know this. The greatest friend. But what was the greatest gift ever given to a friend? I'll share it with you. It's this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He gave the best gift to His friends. Nothing greater, nothing more, nothing less, but the best. He's our greatest friend because He gave us the best. God so loved you. When you were unlovable, when you were a sinner, when you were dead in your trespasses, God said, "I love you." I'm not going to just talk about it, but I'm going to show it. I'm not going to go just with words, but a body, a personality. This is how much I love you. And I want you to have this type of life with me. This eternal life. So I got to ask you a question. How do you know you're a true friend? How do you know you are a true friend? How do I know Flora's a true friend of mine? By the senses, yes. By the personality, yes. By the spiritual, yes. That's how I know. But how do you know that you're a true friend of Jesus? Abraham in the Old Testament, the Bible teaches us, but James records it in the New Testament. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness. And what was he called? He was called a friend of God. What were the qualifications for Abraham? Was he the richest? Was he the smartest? Was he the best looking? You know? What qualified him to be the best friend? That's it. That's it. Faith. He believed God. And because he believed God, he became known as a friend of God. New Testament puts it this way in 1 John 3. He says, "This is the commandment that we believe in His Son Jesus Christ and love one another just as He commanded us." The one who keeps His commandments abides in Him and He in Him. We know by this He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given to us. So how do we know that He's a true friend? Because we believe in the name of Jesus Christ. And because we obey His commandments. And because we love one another. You can't be a good friend if there's no love there. It's got to be love. It's got to be stay with the stuff. It's got to be go the distance. That's how we know. We believe in His name and we do what He says to do. So Jesus comes along. When He started preaching, okay, after He was baptized and Jesus said, okay, this is the message that I want people to hear. He said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. How do you know you're a true friend? Let's break that down. Let's look at it like this. The time is fulfilled. In other words, God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ. He fulfilled all of the prophecies of the Old Testament in the coming of Jesus. Where He would be born, when He would be born, who He'd be born to, what family He'd be born to, what city He would be born to. All of these things were fulfilled. But then in this time, then there's an urgency right there. And the urgency is the kingdom of God is at hand. Oh, wait a minute. You mean His kingdom when God's going to come and He's going to rule and it's all about to be set up? The answer is yes. So the time is now. All things in order. All the stars are lined up. Everything's right. All the prophecies fulfilled. There's an urgency because the kingdom of God is about to be established here. And so what He said to them, He said, repent. Now the word repentance means to change. Repent. And then He said, now, believe in the gospel. Noticing those words, I know my slide went crazy right there. But what are those four words spell? Turn. Are you a true friend of God? If you are, that means you've made the turn. You've made the turn. You really believe that all things are right and the time's right. You really believe the kingdom of God is about to appear with God ruling and reigning and everything. You really believe that there's a heaven and a hell. And you really believe that those who believe in God are going to heaven, those who have turned are going to go to heaven, and you really believe that those who have not made the turn are going to go to hell. You really believe that. And you really believe that now Jesus said, these words said, believe the gospel, and the gospel is God doing something for you that you couldn't do for yourself. You cannot pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and you cannot work your way to heaven, and you cannot get there. The only way to get there is the way that Abraham did. He believed in God. And it was by faith was the only way. So he turned. Let's break that out, that word believe. I looked up the word believe in the dictionary, and this is what it said. It said, accept, when you believe, you accept as true. Now let's chew on that just a minute. When you believe the gospel, you accept as true. So I could say, accept as true the gospel. Do I really believe that? Will I stake my life on that? Do I really believe that Jesus died for me? Do I really believe that Jesus was gone, placed in a grave? Do I really believe that all the sins of the world was placed upon Jesus Christ when He died on that cross? And I really believe that He was buried in the grave? And do I really believe that on the third day He rose from the grave? Do I really believe that? Will I accept that as truth? Secondly, be certain of it. Be certain of it. Do I know the facts? Have I considered the facts? Have I done my homework? Am I just taking what the preacher says? Or have I really, am I certain of what's going on here? And then thirdly, have I considered this? Have you considered the cost? Do you know what it's going to cost to be a friend of God? It's going to cost you your life. It's going to cost you your life. But in gain, you get your life. Accept the gospel, it's true. Be certain of it. Don't doubt. And then consider all the ramifications. Count the cost. Because when you make this decision, your eternity base is on this. What's the sense of a healthy marriage? Healthy marriage with Flora and I got to accept this as the true deal. I got to be certain of it. I got to consider all the ramifications before she asked me to marry her. I mean, I had to consider. I'm just kidding, babe. I got to look at all these things together. Am I really to be true to her? Am I really certain this is what God wants? Have I considered all the things that come along with this? Have I considered this to the best of my knowledge? And the answer is, I said, yes, I have considered these. And I said yes to that long-term relationship that we have and that we are loving together. Same way with Jesus. Believe in the gospel. Believe in the gospel. So therefore, when we think about this, I really come to this point. Are you a friend of God? Are you a friend of God? You know, when you're 9 years old and you receive Jesus Christ at the age of 9, you really don't know a whole lot of what's going on. Well, one thing that I've done in these 63 years, and I'm proud to get here, one thing I've done is I've looked back and now I understood what happened when I was 9 years old. When I was 9 years old, did you know I was an enemy of Jesus Christ? When you know when I was 9 years old that my sin had separated me from God? Do you know that when I was 9 years old, I was headed for hell? Did you know when I was 9 years old, there was no way I could get to heaven? But then when I was 9 years old, somebody shared with me the good news. And I accepted it as true. I accepted it. And I believed it. And at the best a 9-year-old boy could do, I counted the cost. And I invited Christ into my life. And He came in and He saved me. So when I sing, I'm a friend of God, that's the real deal. I am a friend of God. Are you? Let's pray. Father, we come here together this morning. Each of us want to be a friend of God. We know that You love us. But God, do we love You? And so, friends don't let friends go to hell. So, we pray for all of our friends here that they may have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that they might be able to say this day, I'm a friend of God. Like Josh in the movie said, Jesus Christ is my friend. And so therefore we live our life based upon these facts, Lord, that I'm a friend. And I will treat you as a friend with respect, with love and concern. And I know God. I know Jesus. That on a bodily level that we communicate, on a personality level we communicate, and greater than all of that, on a spiritual level, we communicate. And we do that because we're friends. You help me every day of my life. You are a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I thank You for that. Now, Lord Jesus, help us to make some decisions this day. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. I just had one of those crazy thoughts. Y'all ever have a crazy thought? Here's the crazy thought. Do you know where you were 63 years ago? I do. I was in Druid City Hospital 63 years ago. Do you know where you're going to be 63 years from now? I do. I'm going to be with my best friend, Jesus Christ. I know that. Are you His friend? Well, what we're going to do, we're going to sing an old song so that we don't forget our past. And that old song says, trust Jesus. If you'd like to trust Jesus Christ this morning, I'm going to be down front. I'd love to pray with you. Some of you may want to come to the prayer altars now because you've got some friends you need to pray over. You really do. You've got some enemies that need to become friends. You need to pray over them. Friends. Let's stand together.